All right, welcome to the Free Stretch opening week edition. Here on JoeBucksFan.com, I am Bobby Fenton. On Sunday afternoon, your Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to take the field for the first time in 259 days, and they'll open the 2020 season against the New Orleans Saints at a mostly empty Superdome in New Orleans. And man, think about what happened 259 days ago. The last play the Bucs have run up until Sunday. Jameis Winston's overtime interception return for a touchdown that resulted in a loss to the Falcons and a 7-9 record. And man, has a lot of things happened since then, both in the Bucs organization and in the world. And here we are yet on schedule to play the opener when they were supposed to play it. And that alone is cause for at least some celebration, considering all the possibilities that existed as we went through the offseason. But here we are. There's going to be a game on Sunday, and I can't wait just for the feeling of watching. Well, one, I can't wait to watch the Bucs come out in their new uniforms, new slash old uniforms, the uniforms they should have always had this whole time. Since we didn't get a preseason, we didn't get to see any of that, so that'll be the first thing I notice. Obviously, the second thing you'll notice is that two of the people in those uniforms are going to be Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski, but there's so much more to it as well. Oh, maybe the third thing you'll notice is that the Bucs are playing in a prominent time slot as the national game of the week on Fox, which is another thing you wouldn't be used to, at least not on opening day. So lots going on. We're going to talk about it all today. The Free Stretch, as always, is brought to you by Bill Curry Ford. Our good friends over there have adjusted with the times, and just like any other time, there is no better place to go if you're looking for a vehicle. They've got a huge place. It's a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. Plenty of room for social distancing. You can go over there and check out all the inventory, test drive, whatever you want, all that good stuff. But if you don't want to do that or you don't feel comfortable, that's fine too. The website is BillCurryFord.com. It's C-U-R-R-I-E. If you go to the website, BillCurryFord.com, you can browse the inventory just the same. And if you want to test drive something, they will bring that vehicle to your house or to your office or to wherever. And you can do it that way. And if you end up making a purchase, same thing. They'll deliver it right to you. You can do the entire process without leaving your home or office or wherever you want to be if that's what you want to do. So that's fine too. They've always got the unlimited nationwide lifetime warranty. If you're the owner of the car, you've got coverage. If something goes wrong with that engine or something that isn't supposed to happen happens, you can bring it back to Bill Curry Ford. They've got an unrivaled service center. They'll take care of it for you. And everything else about the customer service experience is top-notch. My good friend Sean Sullivan, the GM, sees to that. So give him a call, or if you want to go to the website, again, BillCurryFord.com, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium, right there on Dale Mabry Highway on the east side of the road where they've been serving the Tampa Bay area for 60 years now. And we'll continue doing so. So thanks to them. As far as what's going to happen this weekend, we got a little taste of it last night. Because the Chiefs, and they hosted, just like the Super Bowl champion has always hosted, the opening game on Thursday night, going back to when the Bucs won the Super Bowl and had to go on the road on Monday night and open up Philly's new stadium. Since then, the Super Bowl champion has always been at home to open the season. But that happened last night. The Chiefs, one of the five teams in the league that were allowing at least a smattering of fans in their stadium for the opener. The Bucs aren't allowing anybody for the first two. Most teams are not, at least at first. But the Chiefs are one of the ones that is. So we saw primetime football last night on TV, and it wasn't 70, 80,000 people. The attendance was, I believe, close to 18,000 people. But honestly, even having that many people, and even though they're spaced out and they're not packed into the stands and it's not the big roars you're used to hearing, it kind of felt normal. Like, it looked and sounded and felt like primetime football. It didn't feel that different. So every jurisdiction, every team, every local municipality has different rules on this. But if we get these games even with partial crowds, I don't think it's going to be that weird. It didn't feel that weird last night. Obviously, it wasn't as loud. But watching the game, and I'm recording this on Friday morning right now, watching the game last night, it felt normal. Now, the game ended up not being that good of a game. And of course, we're talking about Bill O'Brien, the Texans head coach, who sees an offense like the Chiefs offense. And when he sees a 4th-and-4 at midfield, thinks, instead of trying to score, we should probably punt to these guys. I'll bet you if we have good field position, if we pin them back inside their 20, they'll never score, of course. You know, watching the Texans is so frustrating because of O'Brien. But anyway, the game played out probably about how most people thought it would. If you can tell, I had Texans plus 9, you know, you're right. But anyway, the game itself wasn't even the point so much as just seeing a production of a football game and seeing how close it is to the thing that we're used to. And I think it went pretty well. I think it felt pretty okay. We'll see how the ones with no fans go, although we've seen that with some college games. And hey, it's not going to stop me from getting excited. I mean, am I more or less excited about the games than I would be if it was a completely normal year? Probably a little bit less, but only a very little bit. But I'm going to tell you what right now. Opening day in the NFL, when that clock strikes 1 o'clock on Sunday and whatever it is, 10 or 12 games go off at one time, whether you're in a pick'em pool or a fantasy league or if you have a red zone or if you're just watching one game, whatever it is, I love Sundays at 1 o'clock. It's such a cool time of the day during those 17 weeks of the year during the regular season. And I make this speech every year on this podcast when we are getting ready to start the season. You know, football, and I love sports. Football is my favorite, but I love baseball. I love hockey. The Rays and Lightning are both doing great right now, and I've been watching those games. I love those things. I love golf. Love horse racing. Love tennis. Been watching the U.S. Open. I mean, I'm a sports person. Like, I love sports. But football is a little bit, like all those other ones, they're all way up there, but football is just occupying a spot a little bit higher, always has. And maybe that goes back to my dad and my uncle, who were high school football coaches, and me growing up on a football sideline on Friday nights, which I was always the ball boy. Now I do the public address for Chamberlain High School. I'll be there tonight when they take on Gaither. Should be a lot of fun. And just, you know, I grew up around football. Then I played football myself. And so maybe that's one part of it, but I think there's another part of it too. You know, the way football's structured is so much different than any other sport. I mean, baseball, they play every single day. And even in this short season, like, they're only playing 60 games, which is not even half of what they normally do. And it still feels kind of long. Like, it's still, oh man, every day, game, game, game. That's the tempo and the rhythm of baseball. And that's fine. And then hockey and basketball don't play quite as many, but they play, you know, 2-3 times a week, sometimes 4 times a week, and the seasons kind of run on and on and on. They play 82 games. You know, football is special for so many reasons. The game itself is special, but it's not just that. It's the way it's structured and how much of an event every football game feels like. I mean, they only play 16 of them a year. I say this all the time. The Buccaneers, there's 365 days a year. And aside from the Gators, college football, same thing, the Bucs and the Gators, those are the only two teams, the only two things where I can look at the calendar and know that no matter what's going on for all those 365 days, those 16 Sundays, those 16, and there's some Mondays now because we're cool to be on TV now, but those three-hour blocks 16 times a year out of those 365 days, everything stops. Like, I know no matter what's going on, I'm watching the Bucs. Like, I've not missed a Buc game. You go back to, I guess, probably 6 years old. Every single time the Bucs have been playing a football game since, like, 1986, I've either been at the game, watched it on TV, or listened to it on the radio in those blackout days. I remember pulling the radio out, listening to Mark Champion way back when he was the Bucs play-by-play guy. Of course, it's been Gene Deckerhoff now for going on over 30 years. And no matter what, I've been watching or in contact with the game. And it'll be true again for the next 16 Sundays. And hopefully 19 or 20 is what we're shooting for. But there's no other sport like that. I mean, I watch a lot of Rays games, watch a lot of hockey and stuff. But not all. You couldn't. I mean, if you did, you'd need to get a life. Like, if you watched every single Rays game, I would say, not, oh man, cool. I'd be like, dude, you need to, like, get a life. Or even with hockey, I mean, there's just so many of them, and it's just different times, different, you know, weeknights, weekends. But for football, whether it's the Gators or the Bucs, I know where I'm going to be when they're playing, and it's been that way. There's just so few things in life, I guess, that the coolest part about it, and this is, I guess, sports in general, not just football, but there's so few things in life that are the same now. I just turned 40 over the summer, and that are the same now as they were in 1987 or 88. I mean, obviously, things change. You grow as a person. Literally, you grow, and obviously, emotionally, you grow. You know, I used to be a kid. Now I have kids, married, all that. Everything changes, and that's fine. It's the way it should be. But it's cool to have a couple things that are the same no matter what, that they're the same when you're 7 years old and 17 years old and 27 years old. And they're going to be the same when I'm 57 and 67 years old. I hope I keep, you know, make it all those years. But I know those things won't change as long as there's a Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And so no matter what, and there's been many years where there wasn't a lot of hype, this one there is, but it really doesn't matter. I was talking to my son about that last night because he's about to turn 9, and we were watching a little bit of the football game. And he goes, you know, Dad, there's this kid in my class, so-and-so, and he's a big Chiefs fan. He loves Patrick Mahomes. He's a Chiefs fan because he says the Bucs stink. And I told him, I said, look, buddy, I remember being your age, and it was the same thing. And I remember being a Bucs fan. Even back then, I was never one. You know, kids really are the most despicable little front runners. I mean, they're awful about that. It makes me sick about kids. The kids will always just jump on the winning bandwagon. That's what they do. They're kids, and it's fine. But they're terrible little front runners. And I felt really proud because I'm not saying I do everything perfect as a parent, but even as a young kid, my son has never even, like, thought about any other team. He's a Bucs fan. I said, you know, buddy, that's the way it's going to be at this age, and it'll probably be that way as long as the Bucs don't win. But I said, what do you think is going to happen if the Bucs win this year? If they start playing well, if they make the playoffs and all that, what do you think so-and-so in your class is going to do? And I didn't, like, lead him or anything. I just said, what do you think he'll do? And my son thought for a second, and he said, well, he's probably going to start wearing Bucs shirts and pretend that he liked the Bucs all along. And I almost had a tear go to my cheek. I was like, damn it, buddy, you are, that is 1,000% the answer I was looking for. That will happen. It may not be this year, but whenever it happens, that will happen. All these people, and listen, that's going to be part of the way it is this year. There's going to be a lot of Johnny-come-latelys now. And I'm not trying to say anybody needs to be told they need to take a purity test to be a Bucs fan, because we want to have as many Bucs fans as possible. Certainly the Bucs could use that after the years they've had. But I just asked him, I said, how many teams are in the NFL? And he goes, 32. I said, right, 32. I said, how many are from Tampa? And he goes, well, one. I go, yeah. And I said, where do you live and where were you born? He goes, Tampa. And I go, yeah. So you don't need to answer any other questions, right? And he goes, no, that makes sense. And I was like, yeah, that's to me, it's as simple as it's always been. You know, it's like Full Metal Jacket. There are many weapons like this one, but this one is mine. There are 32 teams in the NFL, but this one is ours. It always has been. And so I always get emotional at the opener. It's almost like, hey, we made it another year. Like, we did it. We're going to start another season of Bucs football, no matter what their record ends up being or anything like that. And then this year, we all think it will be good, obviously. But it's just exciting, and especially everything that's happened this year, to see that the NFL made it on time. And hats off, by the way, because, listen, I'm not somebody who downplays coronavirus or anything like that, but going all the way back to the draft. Remember the draft? I can't believe they're doing this. They should postpone this. Why are they even doing this? There's always people that just want to cancel stuff. And I don't mean the political thing that people are talking about, cancel culture. I mean literally cancel stuff. There's always people that if any little thing goes wrong, they're like, oh, we just shouldn't do it, you know. They had the draft. It was a wild success. It went really well. The whole Zoom draft, it was great. Free agency, remember that? Remember the whole Tom Brady thing? And there were people saying, don't even do this right now. How are they doing free agency? What's wrong with them? Where are their priorities? As if free agency requires anybody to get like together like in groups of thousands of people. I don't know what the problem with free agency even would have been. But they told the NFL, don't do that. You're wrong to do that. I can't believe they're doing this. How are they? And it went great. And we end up getting Tom Brady on top of that. So then that whole thing happens. Then over the summer, you know, we get your off-season stuff. We got drones flying over Berkeley Prep while Tom Brady tries to work out with his new teammates, on and on and on. Still not there yet, not real football. But then we start to get toward training camp. Why are they doing, I can't believe they're doing this right now. Are they really going to practice? Went fine. And then the season, I can't believe they haven't come out with a different schedule. They're just sticking to the same schedule. That's absurd. These people are irresponsible. Here we are. We're going to play football. And I think it's going to be fine. I mean, you know, you don't know for sure. Same with schools being open. I mean, it's been going great so far. Haven't had any issues with that. But a month from now, 2 months from now is when you get a better picture. Understood. Okay, I'm not trying to say I told you so to anybody yet. But hats off to the NFL for sticking by their guns, having a plan. And same thing with hockey and NBA too. Having these bubbles that everybody said was a ridiculous idea. I remember so many people just cancel the season already. What? This is such a cockeyed idea. It's going great. NHL bubble's going great. They're down to their final four. NBA, same thing. You do what you have to do. You make it happen. Baseball, these teams had to cancel some early games when they had some outbreak. They're going to make them up. They're all going to play their 60 games. We're going to have a playoff. All these things are getting done. Because that's what you do. You go forward. You do it. You don't do it if it's completely and utterly irresponsible. But you always look for a way. And if there's a way, you find that way and you make it happen. So Bucks Saints on Sunday. Let's get down to brass tacks. And if you want to email me, it's bobbygameday@yahoo.com. I love hearing from you. And on Twitter, you can get me at bobbygameday. Biggest thing is Mike Evans. Mike Evans right now, and I haven't gotten the update from today's practice yet, but Mike Evans yesterday didn't practice with the team, but he was out there doing some light work. So, you know, the whole thing with him was the hamstring, which he injured at the end of last season, but then, you know, we figure we'll be okay by now, and it has been okay. We think there wasn't any preseason games, but apparently there was a little bit of an aggravation or something like that. So he's up in the air. And by the time you're listening to this, because I'm recording this early on Friday morning, by the time you hear this, there might be more definitive news. But as of Thursday's practice, he was out there doing some things, but he was not full go. I don't think he did anything before that. We'll see if he plays on Sunday. That's the big story as far as injuries and things like that. Obviously, you get your chance to see Jameis Winston in a Saints uniform. He's not the starter, Drew Brees is, but he will be there. And the Bucks go into what is normally a very hostile environment in Week 1 and obviously won't have those crowd members there this year. But I'll tell you what, I mean, the Bucks, they seem to get this early game at the Superdome quite often. It's happened in years past, and the Bucks have had a lot of success, both in years they ended up being an okay team and in years where they weren't that good. They have gone into the Superdome and gotten a few wins. It's not like a place that they have had a house of horrors or anything like that. And, you know, obviously all eyes are going to be on Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski. And with no preseason games, we're going to see how that goes. So I got a couple questions on Twitter yesterday when I was talking about recording the show. And one of the questions I'm pulling up here, I want to credit the proper person on Twitter who sent me this, because there's a few questions I wanted to answer on the show today. So one of these came from, right here, here it is, from Rybuck, at Rybuck1, who is a friend and follower on Twitter. And he says, Bobby, what are your thoughts on the pundits who predict that the Bucks will fall short of the playoffs, citing a lack of preseason to gel? And there have, you know, if you look at the preseason predictions, which mean nothing, but if you do look at those, you'll see a consensus on the Chiefs and even the Saints. But even with Tom Brady, I know Peter King made the Bucs his Super Bowl pick. He's one guy. But there's a lot of mix. I mean, some people think the Bucs will be like 7-9. Some people think they'll be 9-7 and get the wild card. Very few predict the Bucs to win the NFC South. And, you know, you'll get half and half that think they're in the playoffs and who think they'll come up just short. Point is, though, if people are citing lack of a preseason to gel, and you'll hear that a lot, I disagree with that. If the Bucks don't make the playoffs, it'll be because they weren't good enough. I think this whole thing, and I heard it not just for the Bucks, but for a lot of teams, I've heard, oh, rookies are going to be a lot less impactful this year. Guys going to new teams like DeAndre Hopkins to the Cardinals or others like that are going to be a lot less impactful this year because there was no preseason, and so I don't think that those effects will be as powerful as they normally are. I've heard a lot of people say that. I couldn't disagree with that more. I mean, the preseason matters a little bit. And there need to be a couple of preseason games. Not four, but there should be a couple. But the fact that this year there were none does not mean these guys aren't going to be able to gel, quote unquote. They still go. Most of your work, listen, most of their work is done in practice. Even when there's a preseason, I mean, how much does Tom Brady play in the preseason? How much do these get? They'll do a few series per game, and then you get down to the fourth game, they don't do any. So, I mean, yeah, you would have liked to have had that, absolutely. But after they play a regular season game or two, no one's going to remember. Like, in week eight of the season, no one's going to be talking about, man, Brady and Gronkowski, they can't get on the same page. Mike Evans doesn't seem like he's in sync with Brady. I think it's because we didn't have a couple of preseason games 2 months ago. No, that maybe matters a little bit in the opener and maybe the second game. But after that, it really won't be that big of a deal. Now, hey, those games matter too, obviously. But it's the same for every team. And I think the effect of having new people versus people who have been in a system for a while isn't as profound as a lot of people are making it out to be. So, once more, you will hear that a lot probably on Sunday as you're watching the games and maybe through the first few weeks of the season. Oh, well, you know, he's a new pickup. This is a rookie or this is a free agent acquisition and he hasn't had a chance to play live reps with these guys yet. And I think you're seeing some... I really don't think that's nearly as big of a deal as a lot. That's just my opinion. I mean, I'm just one guy too. But I don't think that's going to be a problem. And, you know, that's why guys like Brady and everybody else were out there working out at high schools when this whole thing was going on and One Buck Place was still closed. They got reps in, and that's where you get a lot of your work in is in practice. Most of your work comes in practice and, you know, install and all that stuff. And you do want to run it against a different defense. You do want to run it against somebody wearing different colors. Absolutely. But it won't be a thing we're talking about more than a couple of weeks from now. And it's not going to determine how the Bucks 2020 season goes. So thank you for that question, Rybuck. Got one from Buck Tank at Bucks3000. And he wanted me to address this one. I said, don't worry, dude. I've got this one. He says, you're probably already going to do it, but only four games for the Bucks wearing the red jerseys. Yes, the Bucks released their uniform schedule the other day, so we already know what they're wearing for every single one of their games this year. Now, Buck Tank here is suggesting, and a lot of fans I've heard this from already, they seem a little bit confused that, you know, we're finally going back to the uniforms everybody knows and loves, the ones they should never have changed from, the ones they shouldn't mess with going forward, and that we're doing that, and yet now we got 16 games here, and they're only going to be wearing red over pewter just four times. And, you know, they showed what they're doing. Nine games in white jerseys, four games in red jerseys, and they're going to have three in that new pewter color rush getup, whatever. So, yeah, if you look back over Buck history, the Bucks have always liked to wear white at home earlier in the season. Obviously, the big thing people always say is, oh, it's because of the heat, which is pretty overrated. I mean, a dark jersey, a red jersey, does not get that much hotter. I don't think it's any difference at all. Maybe you could say if they're playing a team wearing black and you want to put them in black. I would have to talk to someone who's an expert on fabrics and things like that and how much that really matters. But that's been the whole thing going back years and years. Even when they were wearing orange, they wear white at home in those September and October games to put the other team in their dark colors. Supposedly it gives them an advantage with the heat. Then later in the year, November, December, they go color at home. And yet, when you look over the years, and I, believe me, couldn't be convinced any easier to get on the great website. It's called Gridiron Uniform Database. And I went back and looked at the Bucks. They changed their uniforms in 1997 from the orange and red to red and pewter. And they kept those uniforms the same from 1997 through 2013 before the fiasco that we just got finished with started in 2014. So from 1997 to 2013... that's 17 seasons of wearing the uniforms they'll be wearing again now in 2020. In that time, they played 272 regular season games and 11 playoff games. That's 283 games total. I went ahead and looked at what they wore for all 283. This did not take as long as you think. The Gridiron Uniform Database website is outstanding, and it can jog your memory of certain games, and it gives not just uniforms, but it gives like the details. In some cases, they have a picture of what the field looked like. They have who the broadcasters were on the network. I mean, they've got everything. I really highly recommend it for a football fan if you have an hour or four to spare, because you'll get lost just messing around that website. But I looked at all the games the Bucks played and looked at the different combinations. There are four combinations, obviously, that got red jerseys with pewter pants, red jerseys with white pants, white jerseys with pewter, and white jerseys with white. So the Bucks, in total, wore their red uniforms 98 times over those 17 seasons. So they wore them about five or six times a year in a given year. Because again, you've got usually the four home games they'd wear them for. And then sometimes when you go on the road, the other team's wearing white at home. So four is not a lot, but it's not, I mean, maybe one or two more is all I would have expected, because the Bucks like to wear white a lot. And I know in a year like this where you're just introducing, or I should say reintroducing these things, maybe they could have put the red over pewter out there a little more, because that's what everybody thinks of when they think of the Bucks. But in fact, they have had seasons in the past. In 2005, they only wore red jerseys three times. They wore white in 13 of their games. So to address what you're saying there $3,000. You know, that's just, I guess, depending on. And now they've got three games taken up by the color rush because they didn't have that before. So there's really only 13 games where they're going to wear either white or red. And they're wearing white in 9 of them and red in 4 of them. My bigger beef, and I'm legitimately pissed off about this, is that someone at the Buccaneers, and I don't know who it is, I would like to, I wish there was like a way, just like Bruce Arians gets up there and holds his presser after practice every day and after the games, or Jason Light does media availability. Who makes these uniform decisions? Like, where do they come from? I want to know, and I want to have media availability. I want to be able to talk to whoever the person is that decides these things. Because my bigger beef with this whole thing, they're wearing the white jerseys for night games. Hey, or for 9, I should say, 9 games. They're wearing white pants all 9 of those times. They are not wearing white jerseys over pewter pants a single time. And folks, that is the signature look of your Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And for someone, I have no idea who it was over at One Buck, but if you're listening out there, I'd love to have you on the show. Email me, bobbygameday@yahoo.com, if anybody gets worried. I want to know who makes these calls. The white over white is so badly inferior to the white over pewter. It's a crying shame. Anyone who thinks the white over white looks better than the white over pewter either has poor taste or poor eyesight or something. There's no way. I mean, there's no comparison. And so for the Bucks to literally say, we're going all white all the time, every time we wear white, we're going all white. I mean, folks, look at the old pictures. There's no comparison. And forget about the fact that that's what, you think of Rondi Barber running down the sideline against Philadelphia, returning the interception for a touchdown, the greatest play in Bucks history. That's just one game. Of course, that's burning everybody's mind's eye. But all those games over the years, I went ahead and checked. So the Bucks, they played 180 games wearing white jerseys from 1997 to 2013. They wore white with pewter pants in 155 of them. They only wore white over white in 25 of them. 86% of the time, they go white over pewter. It is the single signature white jersey look, and probably the signature Bucks look, because it's the uniform they've worn the most with these colors, and they decided to wear it exactly 0 times in 2020. I think it's a travesty. I'm upset about it. I don't know what. It's not like I don't like white pants in general. Sometimes I do like, but with these Bucks uniforms, with this specific, the way the helmet tied into the pants, both pewter and the white jersey, chef's kiss, just a gorgeous ensemble. And again, I know we're not supposed to complain because we should just be happy they fixed this, considering what they've been wearing the past 5 years. And I mean, what a nightmare that was. But on the other hand, should we really commend people that much for fixing something that never should have been broken to begin with? I mean, yeah, they fixed it, but we never should have even had this episode we went through. And now that they're doing this, all the white, I don't get it. So anyway, just something I wanted to bring up today. I'm glad it was tweeted at me as a listener question so I could frame it and pretend that I wasn't going to talk about it on the show today, but I most definitely was. So one more question. This is the one I really wanted to get into here because it's a good question. From Charlie Medham, good friend of the show, Raptor1963 on Twitter. Messages me yesterday. Bobby, do you think our secondary will pick up close to where they were at the end of last year, or will the no preseason impact them drastically? Will our rookie Winfield give up a big play? I think we will be okay, Charlie. You know what? Good tweet. I want to talk about the defense first of all. The people, both fans and media alike, that I hear or I talk to, I mean, a lot of y'all, whether it's my close friends or whether it's going back and forth on social media or whatever it is, everybody is high on the Bucks, not just because of Brady and Gronkowski, not just because of Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. They're high on the Bucks because we finally have a defense. Bobby, the defense is what we're used to now. It's back to where it was. I'm skeptical. And I don't think they're going to be good. But we need to talk about what happened last year. If you remember, in 2019, the Bucks had a very, very difficult, some might even say brutal early schedule. That first half of the year, those first 7 or 8 games, they were real tough. And the Bucks defense was a walking gas can at times. I mean, they were bad. Just like we'd been used to them being bad in the years prior to last year. And they sucked for several games early in the season last year. And then they got better as the season went on, partly because they had young guys who were still kind of growing into their roles, but a big part of it that nobody ever really seems to acknowledge, but it's like one of the most important things in sports and in life, really, the competition got easier. All of a sudden, they started playing teams like Jacksonville or the Lions or whoever. You know, their late schedule last year was very weak, and not only did the team overall get better and start winning more, but the defense, all of a sudden, it was, hey, we got a defense. Well, yeah, they did get better. They absolutely got better. I'm not taking credit away. I mean, they're young guys, and the more games they played, the better they got. But people, like, really discount how important the level of competition is. I mean, I could go out and play a pickup basketball game against some really good players at the local gym and get my ass kicked. Then I could go find some guys who are just hacks and beat their ass. And did I get better, or did anything really change, or I just play different people, you know? Like, the level of competition, the level of difficulty in whatever it is you're doing matters. And so I'm saying this not because I don't think the Bucks are going to be good this year, but I think a lot of people are just kind of getting their pencil out and just writing in really good defense, Bucks 2020 playoffs / Super Bowl, Brady, and good defense. You don't know that. I mean, our defense got better, but I'm not convinced that they're as good as a lot of people think they are. I'm not saying they're not either. I'm saying I want to see more, because they did get better last year, but it was not really a coincidence. It was kind of like, okay, kind of noticed the schedule got a lot easier right about the time the defense started getting better. So that has to be kept in mind. And it's a great question from Charlie. Again, he references the preseason, though I don't think the preseason thing will be a problem. Antoine Winfield is going to be a starter. Will he give up a big play? Yeah, of course he'll give up a big play. Anybody playing that position will give up a big play from time to time, and he's a rookie, and he's going to be good from by all the accounts, and I'm 100% behind him starting, and that's fine. But yeah, you're starting rookies, and, you know, or a rookie. And yeah, there's going to be some growth there, not because of the lack of preseason. If we had a preseason, that'd still be true. But it's going to be something to keep an eye on. The Bucks are a better team than they were a year ago. I really believe that. I don't think that's even in dispute by anybody. But it doesn't mean they're where they need to be to get where they want to get. When we're not just talking about winning some regular season games against bad teams. I'm talking about winning games in January, winning games when the weather starts to turn cold, the playoffs. We'll see about that. Beyond just can Tom Brady, you know, be who we all think he can be even at 43, but can the defense take last year and make a step forward again from that, or will they regress a little bit after having kind of inflated themselves on lesser competition? That's a big thing to watch in 2020, I think. I really do. And we'll get our first taste of it as we get ready to take on the Saints on Sunday. That'll be a good first test against that team and Drew Brees and company and everybody they got. So it's something that, you know, I never do this on the show. I never make predictions. I never say I predict the Bucks will be 9-7. I don't do that. It's foolish. It wouldn't mean anything if I did say it. I'd be guessing just like everybody else guesses. But I will say this, and it's the same thing I said on last week's show. They're going to go out there and play on Sunday, and it's going to be the first time we've seen anything on an actual field with uniforms and an opponent in 259 days. And all these new players, Brady, Gronkowski, like you just said, the defense, new draft picks, Tristan Wirfs, everybody. So whatever happens, whether it's good or bad, we're going to want to have a natural tendency to overreact to. Our entire sample size is going to consist of whatever happens against the Saints on Sunday. And I can't say it enough, folks. It's a long season. It's a big picture thing. This is just one of 16. And even 16's a lot. It's not 82 like in hockey or 162 like in baseball, but even a football season has a lot of things that happen and a lot of things that change. Stay even, okay? The big questions this year, Tom Brady. Is he going to be what everybody thinks he is? He may not. He could completely hit a wall. That's totally possible. Or he could be awesome. None of these things are known. The defense, same thing. I mean, will they be better? Should they be better? Yeah, but we don't know how much of that was having a favorable schedule toward the end of last year and how much of it was them really being ready to take the next step into a top-flight NFL defense. These are the things that are going to determine what the 2020 Bucks end up being, whatever it is. But there are also things we're not going to know for sure even at the end of the game on Sunday, because it's just one game. So if Brady plays, this goes both ways. If Brady plays terribly or it's not what you thought it was going to be like, don't freak out. If he is awesome, if he looks like a Hall of Famer, like everything you've always known him to be, relax on that too. You know, either way, you just got to keep an even keel. Either way, it is here, and I'm so happy because I love sports, and I was thinking about this the other night when the Lightning won their game in game two against the Islanders on the goal with 8 seconds left by Nikita Kucherov on the pass from Ryan McDonagh when it looked like overtime was about to be happening and they scored last minute. And the roar I let out in my house, I woke my son up. He was already in bed, but I was just totally buzzed after that. I couldn't even go to bed for a little while because it was just too much energy having that happen like at 11 o'clock and then trying to lay down and go to bed. Just couldn't do it. And I texted a couple friends and I said, you know, I really hope I never get too old where I stop getting happy or excited about these sporting events that I don't have any hand in, that I do nothing to contribute to myself. It's not like I won a football game or a hockey game, and it's not like it affects my life. You know, it doesn't, if they win or lose the next day, you still have your life, and it doesn't change much whether your teams win or lose. But I said, that was really fun. I hope I'm never too old where I'm having fun watching these games the way I do. And the same thing applies to the Bucks, man. I hope I never get too old where this stuff matters, even though I know it doesn't matter. Like, you're not going to get a job promotion on Monday if the Bucks beat the Saints on Sunday or anything like that. We're just fans. It's just entertainment. But, man, I hope it always... It hasn't changed. You know, I've gotten older now. I've gotten more perspective. I still love this stuff. If you're listening to this show or if you're reading Joe Bucks, man, you probably still love this stuff, too. And considering everything that's gone on this year and how tough it's been, use these 16 Sundays and Mondays we get, and one Thursday, these 16 precious three-hour blocks of Buck football, use it to have fun, whether it's with your family, whether you have kids that you watch the game with, or whether it's an excuse to call up a friend. I know we got COVID, we don't want to be getting in big groups, but have a buddy come over, you know, put the TV outside on the back porch or whatever. You know, there's ways, but use it as an excuse to get together. Use it as an excuse for camaraderie. That really is what will endure in your memories more than any of the results of any single game. But it's just so much fun, and I'm glad it's here again. I really am. Because it looked for a while there like it may not be. It was a little bit touch and go. And football season, of all seasons, is to be celebrated. And here we are, folks. So let's have some fun on Sunday. A couple other things real quick before we wrap things up. The fridge schedule. I'm finishing it today. I've already gotten emails from last week's show saying, Bobby, I want a fridge schedule. If you don't know what I'm talking about or if you didn't hear that, I type up fridge schedules. I make them on an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper. I use color logos for all the teams. It's really a great thing to put up on your, especially if you like me and you like to write the scores in. And I save them. I got all of them going back through the seasons. I do those. So if you email me, I'll email you the file and you can print it out. I prefer and I recommend color printer if you're going to do that. And then you can put it out there with those beautiful colors and logos on your fridge or in your office or wherever you want. Email me, bobbygameday@yahoo.com, if you want to do that, and I will get you going. I'll send it to you, no problem, and you can just print it out. I've already gotten some, but I'll be the ones that have emailed me already, you're going to get your schedules probably, you know, later today or tomorrow, and everybody else that emails me, same thing. I just got to finish making it look nice and pretty, getting those logos centered just right, make sure the aspect ratios are where they need to be, all that stuff. And it looks so, that's one of the other like gateways to football season. I see those schedules up on the fridge and I know we made it. I know they're up there and we got some games coming up. So have fun with that. We'll talk next week, not just about the game, but about what it seemed like. I know they're going to pump in some crowd noise on the broadcast. It won't be terribly loud and I'm against it. I like everything natural, but we'll see how it goes and what it seems like once we have a little bit of something to go on after watching these games over the weekend. Not just the Bucks, but some of the other national TV games that aren't going to have any fans as opposed to the one Thursday night that had at least a few. So we'll talk all about that. Hopefully we're talking about a 1-0 Bucks team as well. But either way, thanks to all of you for listening. As always, I appreciate it so much. Joe Bucks fan, the Joes, thanks to them for giving me this platform. As always, it's the number one place anywhere for Bucks coverage, and I am privileged to get to do a podcast on it. Thanks to our good friends at Bill Curry Ford. Go check them out, BillCurryFord.com, if you're looking for a new or pre-owned vehicle. Folks, Hayes in the barn now. We got a game on Sunday afternoon. Have a great weekend. Have a safe weekend. Late afternoon kickoffs. I love them. And we'll talk about it all next week. And until then, be safe, have fun, and wherever you are, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks.